Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Monsignor James P. Bridges of Midland passed away on Thursday, February 8, 2024. A rosary will be recited at 7 p.m. Thursday, February 15, 2024, at St. Stephen's Catholic Church. Funeral Mass will be held at 10 a.m. Friday, February 16, 2024, at St. Stephen's Catholic Church. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home, Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Bill Lee Quillen, San Angelo, 84, passed away on February 12, 2024. In lieu of flowers, please send memorials to PAWS, P.O. Box 2604, San Angelo, Texas, 76902, West Texas Rehab Center, or the charity of your choice. A visitation will be held on Friday, February 16th, from 5 to 7 p.m. at Harper Funeral Home. A memorial service will be held Saturday, February 17, 2024, at 2 p.m. at First Presbyterian Church of San Angelo. Family and friends can give online condolences at www.harper-funeralhome.com. Albert Richard Britz, 71, of Odessa, Texas, passed away on Tuesday, January 9, 2024. The family will be having a private memorial service. Arrangements were under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Charles Royce Shepherd, 88, of Crane, Texas, passed away on February 8, 2024 in Abilene. Visitation was on Monday, February 12, 2024 at Schaefer Nichols Funeral Home from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Funeral services were Tuesday, February 13, 2024 at 2 p.m. at the First Baptist Church of Crane, and Reverend Tommy Parker and Reverend Chris Farrell officiating. Burial followed in the Crane County Cemetery. Ray Thomas Pace, Netherland, Lieutenant Colonel Ray T. Pace, USMC, died on February 11, 2024. In Nederland, Texas. The viewing will be held on Friday, February 16, 2024, from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Sunset Memorial Gardens at 6801 East Business 20, Odessa, Texas. The funeral will be held on Saturday, February 17, 2024, at 3 p.m. at Connection Christian Church at 4241 Tanglewood Lane, Odessa, Texas. There will be a graveside service immediately following. Kinley Tesna Renee White, age 17, of Lubbock, Texas, lost her battle with osteosarcoma on January 27, 2024. The family would like to thank everyone around the country who have included Kinley and all of our family in your prayers.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram, Tuesday, February 13th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Hodges Shares Concerns with Policy Revision, by Ben Schaffer, staff writer. MISD will vote on a policy revision Tuesday, which would require at least two board members to request in writing a topic to be included on board meeting agendas. District 5 Representative Brandon Hodges says this policy would violate the intention, if not the actual, ruling by a federal magistrate order in 2001. The revised MISD policy also states that at least two board members must request to pull an item for discussion from consent agendas during a public meeting. Hodges said that MISD trustees are in single-member districts mandated by a federal magistrate imposed by the United States. The court in the original lawsuit that was dismissed in 2001, brought against MISD, said the district was not fully desegregating its schools, that district junior and senior high schools were desegregated, but elementary schools were not. That's what forced the board to move into single-member districts, was a federal magistrate's order, and we stayed under that ruling until 2001, when MISD went back and asked for the United States of America to drop the lawsuit, he said. As part of the settlement agreement in 2001, MISD had to comply with certain standards and regulations. They made us whole again. They gave us unity again of our district because we had complied with those, Hodges said. Well, a part of that compliance was being a single-member district. Hodges said that this agenda revision, which requires at least two board members to add an agenda item to MISD board meetings, would hurt MISD's governmental standing as a single-member district, violating the dismissed federal lawsuit. Hodges said he would be unable to serve his constituents as a single-member representative with the new policy, should it be approved. Because now I can say to a constituent, yes, I would like to have that added to the public agenda. But based on the new internal board policy, you're going to have to find another district representative outside of this district that will help champion that to be put on the public agenda, Hodges said. Hodges said his ability to govern would be limited by the new policy. Hodges also discussed how the school district initially brought up the topic. The District 5 representative said that MISD introduced this topic in an executive session. However, Hodges said, this topic does not meet the definition of privileged under the Open Meetings Act. You can't go into a closed session under executive privilege saying that you are consulting with your attorney and just have open-ended conversations to try to circumvent the state laws of Texas and go against, at minimum, the spirit of the law that a federal magistrate mandated on the school district in a federal lawsuit, he said. Hodges said his stance against the $1.4 billion has made trustees upset with him. I was totally against the bond. Since the bond passed, I moved on. It doesn't matter. The people spoke. The vote was heard. I don't just sit up there and just object to anything that has to do with construction, he said. Hodges said this policy would also limit minority of opinion voices on the board and violate First Amendment rights. Efficiency and political positioning should not trump the Bill of Rights, Hodges stated. He added that is marginalizing minority opinions, which he believes this rule will do. It is not only a matter of justice and equality, but it also has significant social, economic, and cultural implications. By recognizing and valuing the diverse perspectives and experiences of all individuals, we can build a more inclusive, equitable, and prosperous society for everyone, he stated. The MISD Board of Trustees will meet Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. at Bowie Fine Arts Academy. This article is entitled, City to Answer Questions on La Mesa Road, Road Safety on Tuesday, by Ben Schaffer, staff writer. The City of Midland will have city staff available after Tuesday's City Council meeting to talk about improving road safety in the area, including La Mesa Road. On February 8th, a 10-year-old student was killed in a hit-and-run incident on South La Mesa Road in southeast Midland. The city said Monday that following its 10 a.m. City Council meeting, there is no set end time, city staff will discuss processes to improve road safety in the area and on La Mesa Road specifically. City Council meetings are held at City Hall at 300 North Lorraine Street. This article is entitled, City Council to Decide on At-Large Election at Meeting, by Ben Schaffer, staff writer. The Midland City Council will vote on an election date for the at-large City Council seat at its meeting on Tuesday. The vacancy is left after the passing of at-large City Councilman Dan Corrales in late January. The resolution calls for a special election to be held on May 4th. Early voting for the election, according to city documents, would be from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. from April 22nd through April 26th, and 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on April 29th and April 30th. City documents state that a candidate's application for a place on the ballot must be submitted no later than 5 p.m. of the 62nd day before the election day, March 3rd. No one can apply for a place on the ballot before the election is ordered. This article is entitled, Local Teen Suffers Gunshot Wounds While Driving, by B.K. Richter, staff writer. The Midland Police Department responded to shots fired on a vehicle in Southwest Midland at around 4:03 a.m. Saturday. According to city officials, Midland Police reported the 18-year-old victim was driving in the 500 block of Devonian Drive when shots were fired from a residence. Officers were notified of the incident and met with the victim in the 400 block of Cedar Spring Street. While the victim did have wounds to his feet, no other injuries were reported, according to Midland police officers. Investigators found security camera footage from a nearby residence showing individuals running in the area carrying guns, and officers located multiple shell casings in a driveway on Devonian. Midland police also reported that a search warrant was obtained and executed for the residence where the shell casings were located. However, no subjects were located. The investigation remains ongoing and no arrests have been made. This article is entitled, Rory McKinney Addresses Facebook Breach, by Ben Schaffer, staff writer. Rory McKinney, a candidate for Midland County Sheriff, addressed a recent social media breach on his personal Facebook profile. McKinney is running against fellow Republicans Justin Painter and Sheriff David Kreiner in the joint primary election on March 5th. According to the statement released by McKinney on Sunday, McKinney's team was made aware of comments that were posted on McKinney's campaign page by an individual impersonating McKinney. McKinney's statement said that upon discovering the breach, his team launched an investigation. McKinney stated that they have traced a local phone number associated with the hacked Facebook profile to an individual. The statement said the investigation is ongoing, but McKinney is exploring the option of involving appropriate authorities to address the issue. We urge all candidates running for the Midland County Sheriff and their supporters to keep the campaign fair and clean. Let's prioritize honesty and integrity to ensure a positive election process for our community, it read. McKinney said they are working to resolve the matter. This article is entitled, Midland County Crash Claims Two Lives, Hospitalizes Others, by B.K. Richter, staff writer. Two men are dead and several others injured following a single vehicle crash in Midland County on Sunday at approximately 4:40 a.m. According to reports from the Texas Department of Public Safety, a 2023 Dodge Ram 2500 was traveling along State Highway 158 when a rollover occurred at mile marker 306. 21-year-old Mario Govia Jr. of Del Rio was transported to Midland Memorial Hospital, where he later died from his injuries. Additionally, 28-year-old Jesus Mejia Trejo of Odessa was pronounced dead at the scene of the crash. 34-year-old Benito Valle and 45-year-old Yodier Vadesia were also transported to Midland Memorial Hospital and treated for minor injuries. The driver of the vehicle, 36-year-old Braulio Caldarea Lerma of Del Rio, was transported to Midland Memorial Hospital and treated for serious injuries. According to the preliminary report from DPS, the Dodge Ram was traveling eastbound on State Highway 158, where it approached a slight curve in the roadway near mile marker 306. Reports indicate that the driver of the Dodge was reportedly traveling at a speed unsafe for the wet road conditions, causing the vehicle to veer off the roadway, where it then rolled multiple times. All occupants of the vehicle were ejected. Reports indicate that none of the occupants of the vehicle were reportedly wearing seatbelts at the time of the incident. The accident remains under investigation, and no further information is available. This is the Life Tributes column. Monsignor James P. Bridges, August 15, 1929 to February 8, 2024. Monsignor James Bridges of Midland passed away on Thursday, February 8th. A rosary will be recited at 7 p.m. Thursday, February 15th at St. Stephen's Catholic Church. Funeral Mass will be at 10 a.m. Friday, February 16th at St. Stephen's Catholic Church. Monsignor James Bridges and his twin sister were born in Plainview, Texas, August 15, 1929, and raised in La Mesa by his grandparents in the Baptist Church. At 20 years old, he was managing the biggest restaurant in La Mesa, where the local Catholic priest often patronized. His relationship with that priest led him to extensive study of the history of Christianity and the Catholic Church, and he fell in love with the Church. He converted to Catholicism and entered the seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. He was ordained on May 26, 1962, having earned two master's degrees in religious studies and education. In 1979, he started a new parish in Midland named St. Stephen's. Since many in Midland were opposed to a new parish, St. Stephen's was put on hold. Father Bridges later returned to Midland to continue the work of developing St. Stephen's, which became the largest parish in the diocese. Believing in his lifelong theme that if you take care of the poor, God will take care of you, he founded St. Vincent de Paul in Abilene, along with Catholic Charities of West Texas and the West Texas Food Bank in Odessa. He also founded Helping Hands in Midland, which provides almost $2 million in direct aid to the poor. He is survived by his adopted son, Mimo Hernandez of Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Wells Funeral Home, and online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Verna Reed, February 19, 1969, to February 6, 2024. Verna Reed, age 54, of Salina, Texas, passed away the morning of February 6th at home after a long battle with COPD and congestive heart failure. She was born February 19, 1969, in Midland, to Ann Nutt and Vernon Kahn. Verna graduated from Midland High School in 1987 and married Michael Reed on July 29, 1989 in Midland. Verna is survived by her husband, Michael Reed of Salina, Texas, daughters Ariane Reed and husband Travis of Asley, Texas, and Reagan Reed of Denton, Texas, son Neilan Reed and wife Victoria of Providence Village, Texas, grandchildren Lane Reed and Rachel Reed, sister Lynette Webb and husband Jimmy of Sunrise Beach, Texas, and numerous nieces, nephews, and cousins. Verna was preceded in death by her parents, Anne and Vernon Kahn, sisters Julie Patterson and Linda McBride, and grandparents, including Roxanne Nutt. In lieu of flowers, please make donations to Arbor Day Foundation or your local animal shelter. Sharon Brooks. Sharon Brooks, age 84, passed away peacefully February 2nd at her residence. Cremation services have been arranged. Funeral arrangements have been entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home, and online condolences can be made at asanchezTFH.com. Christy Calhoun. Christy Calhoun, 58, of Midland, passed away on Friday, February 9th in Midland. A celebration of Christy's life will be held at 2 p.m. on Thursday, February 15th at First Methodist Church in Midland, with Reverend Kurt Borden officiating. To place online condolences, please visit www.willowbrk.com. Jace Lackey. Jace Lackey, 24, of Brenham, passed from this life on February 2nd in Midland. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory in Midland. David Shane Prosser. David Shane Prosser, 51, of Midland, passed from this life on February 3rd in Midland. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory in Midland. Nicole Trujillo. Nicole Paul Marie Lucien Giannazzi Trujillo, 83, of Midland, passed away on January 30th at Midland Medical Lodge in Midland. Sean Wallace. Sean Wallace of Odessa passed from this life in Odessa on February 2nd. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory in Midland.
Food poisoning. Deadly listeria outbreak linked to dairy company. A California cheese and dairy company is the source of a decade-long outbreak of listeria food poisoning that killed two people and sickened more than two dozen, federal health officials said Tuesday. New lab and inspection evidence linked soft cheeses and other dairy products made by Rizzo Lopez Foods of Modesto, California, to the outbreak, which was first detected in June 2014, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said. Since then, at least 26 people in 11 states have been sickened. They include a person who died in California in 2017 and one who died in Texas in 2020, CDC officials said. On Monday, the company recalled more than 60 soft cheeses, yogurt, and sour cream sold under the brands Tio Francisco, Don Francisco, Rizzo Bros, Rio Grande, Food City, El Huache, El Ordenena, San Carlos, Campesino, Santa Maria, Dos Ranchitos, Casa Cardenas, and 365 Whole Foods Market. The CDC previously investigated cases of food poisoning tied to queso fresco and other similar types of cheese in 2017 and 2021, but there was not enough evidence to identify a source. New illnesses were reported in December, prompting CDC to reopen the investigation. The strain of listeria linked to the outbreak was found in a cheese sample from Rizzo Lopez Foods. Federal officials confirmed that queso fresco and cojita made by the company were making people sick. The recalled products were distributed nationwide at stores and retail deli counters, including El Super, Cardenas Market, Northgate Gonzales, Superior Groceries, El Rancho, Velarda, Food City, La Mico Chana, and Numero Uno Markets. Listeria infections can cause serious illness and, in rare cases, death. People who are pregnant, older than 65, or have weakened immune systems are particularly vulnerable. Symptoms like muscle aches, fever, and tiredness usually start within 2 weeks after eating contaminated foods, but can start earlier or later. The CDC said consumers who have these products should discard them and thoroughly clean the refrigerator, counters, and other contact sites. Listeria can survive in the refrigerator and easily contaminate other foods and surfaces.
This is the Dear Abby column. Cash gift from in-law wounds husband's pride. Dear Abby, my sister-in-law on my wife's side stayed a week and a half with us in Florida. I love her very much, and we all had a lovely visit. She has stayed with us before, alone, and with my brother-in-law. We welcome them with open arms. Family means a lot to us. Now to the problem. After she left, I found an envelope with a thank you card and $200 in it. I feel insulted, as they are always welcome here. We are not a B&B. This is the first time something like this has happened. We have a nice home, but my wife was complaining about money issues in front of our company. We are going through a rough patch at the moment, but we are not broke or destitute. Compared to us, my in-laws are wealthy. My ego is bruised. We are better off than most people and are blessed with all we do have. I want to send the money back with a gracious thank you note, but my wife says no. I am angry with her as well. Was she out of line for not keeping our money situation private? Signed, Fuming in Florida. Dear Fuming, please don't be angry about the gift which was given with love. Write the sister-in-law a gracious thank you note, keep the money, and tell her she doesn't need to give you more because your situation isn't dire. I don't think your wife was out of line. I think she was simply chatting with her sister when she made the remark. Dear readers, on December 6th, I published a letter from Lost in Louisiana, whose daughter's fiancé canceled their wedding 3 days prior to the event because she's bisexual. The parent was worried about her daughter's new choices in female partners and upset that she had lied, and requested her daughter not bring these women around. After responding to the letter, I heard from members of the LGBTQ+ community, in particular bisexual people, saying I could have done better with my response. I have since learned that the bisexual community is the largest segment of the LGBTQ+ community, the least visible and the most misunderstood. This has contributed to perpetuating the myth that bisexuality is a halfway point between straight and gay, a stepping stone to people coming out as lesbian or gay, or an identity people claim in order to deny being lesbian or gay. Not true. Being bisexual simply means that the person has the capacity to be attracted to people of different genders. And because one is bisexual does not mean they cannot be monogamous. I regret that I didn't point out to the parents that their unsupportive response may be a reason their daughter had not come out to them as bisexual earlier. Further, I could have suggested that to become a safe, loving, and affirming presence for their daughter, they educate themselves about bisexuality. If they do, their daughter may be more open to hearing their concerns about her choices in partners, which is less about the gender of those partners and more about their treatment of their daughter. Love, Abby. You can contact Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.